Tonight, I want us to look at the path to personal peace. The path to personal peace. Folks, until there is personal peace within an individual human being, moving on into the family of the human being, into the community, into the state, into the country, until there's personal peace inside the heart of mankind, then there's always going to be trouble and wars. Always going to happen. When we look at stats right now, you know, on crime, and looking at stats on drugs, and the big wave of new drugs that are coming in, and all the now the government is issuing needles so that HIV will not spread. And people will say, "Now, what do you think about that, preacher?" I don't know. It's got to be in the hands of these folks who do know what is the best. It bothers me that because it seems like it's almost encouraging somebody to do it. But whatever it is now that they are shooting up and all is something difficult to get them off of. But that's not the problem. The problem begins without peace on the inside. If an individual does not have peace, then that individual is going to look for peace somewhere else. We as humans, we think that we can find that pleasure of peace in the human condition. We can't. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings in a human body. Therefore, the spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh is weak. So therefore, as we're looking at life and feeling the hurt and the pain, we want to know, how in the world can I get the personal peace? Well, let's look at three sources of tension that really cause us some problems. I'm going to do a full study on some of that Sunday night. I think will help us if I get it all written. Number one, when circumstances are uncontrollable. When you get around a type A, when you get around a control individual, that is a personality, when you get around an individual that controls, and then that individual can't control, it's all you can do to keep them from beating their head against the wall, because they're so used of everything in their life being under control. Well, folks, frankly, nothing in our life is under our control. Nothing. I can teach, I can preach, you can love, you can teach your children, you can raise them, and as soon as they walk out of the door, then they can be out of control, and a lot of times we don't know they're out of control until they come walking back through the door. And life just isn't working. Why? Because they don't have peace. Do we not as Christians raise our children, and we as preachers teach and preach about the one who can give us that ultimate peace? And is it not that Christians, are we not still watching ourselves fall under the same distress and stress of life as people that are non-believers? Because we're looking in the wrong places. Circumstances are uncontrollable. Number two, when people are unchangeable. Preacher, you go down there and preach to him. Now, I want him saved. I want him saved before the weekend's over. I don't want to go down there to do that because I got my hands full trying to get you saved, lady. Get in here and let's talk about the Word of God. You see, when people are unchangeable, now, you know as well as I do that once we get set in our ways, and I don't care whether you are 20 or 101, when you get set in our ways, as some things, you are not going to change. Well, now I need to teach you, Larry, to eat healthy. I'm already stuck on that health junk right now, the White Castles and peanut butter fudge. And, you're unchangeable so often in your thought process. Now, see, it doesn't matter. And it's not always bad, folks. But the being unchangeable in God's standard and being unchangeable in the common sense area of life are two different things. I know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. I know that. Now, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care everything. You can memorize the Bible backwards and forwards. I don't care. I can tell you right now, I may not be wise enough or smart as that individual to be able to quote it all, but you see, I'm going to heaven because I know Jesus. Now, I don't care what, and you all don't either. It doesn't matter what these people tell us. Well, you can't truly know you're heaven bound. You'll learn that Sunday morning and how you know and all. But do we not see ourselves in a lot of ways unchangeable? But those unchangeable ways towards the Lord are good, folks. But there are just some people that are unchangeable in the bad attitudes, including me. I'm unchangeable in certain areas that's not good. Right now, I can't think of a one, but, you know, I just know there's one out there. Number three.
Where's Bay when you need
it? Oh, yeah. She'd bring it out. When problems are unexplainable. Now, you talk about tension. How could I explain about my sister and brother-in-law? How do you explain that? How do you explain many situations, you know? Well, Larry, if God loves you, why do you end up the way you've ended up? Well, I didn't even know I'd ended up bad. See, so it's an idea of I cannot explain why, but we know this. We know the who that owns us, that died for us. Now, I'm not going to be able to understand the majority of stuff that goes on in my life any more than you all are. But what we hang on, folks. Why? Because we know about a promise Jesus, our Savior, has given us. And that promise is, I have already conquered the world, and I've built a mansion for you. But I'll come and get you just as soon as it's time. Remember, God's time is not our time. God sets things in order, and when the time is right, then and only then will God bring it to our attention. Aren't you glad that you didn't have things happen to you through your adult years that you've had happen? Aren't you glad it didn't happen when you were younger and would have handled it a different way? As we grow, hopefully and prayerfully, we get wiser, not dumber. But in Christ, he says, I will focus on your heart and I will train you. How to find that personal peace. Now, folks, it's not, I know I might start preaching, so just leave me alone.
That's your job.
What I do know is this. When we're looking at the scripture and we're saying, I need that personal peace, the problem is the personal peace that God has set for each one of us is different from the other. Why can't I be peaceful like you? Well, because you're not me. And God has his peace in your mind. You and I, when we said yes to Jesus Christ, folks, that ought to remind us that we have no problem with personal peace because I know where I'm headed, and I'm headed home. I'm just a wayward stranger, and I'm almost songwriting. I'm just one of those wayfaring strangers walking through this land, and my home and my citizenship is in heaven. So, Larry, I've given you peace and you don't recognize it. How many times do we miss a blessing that is right there in front of us and we don't recognize it as a blessing? Let me tell you, people in my life. Gosh, and I'm sure I'll keep doing it because I dump on you all the time. But, you know, my sister, I remember through those days of the peace with her because she had everything figured out. And you know, I looked at that and I say, look back now and I thought, gosh, I had it good. What I'm saying is this. The peace of God came when I said yes to Jesus. See, my battle with God is over. His battle with me, then when he'll let me know that you're going to be with my son. Okay, there's the peace, Larry. But then, because of the human part of me and the thinking and all, I allow those stressors or those situations in my life. It doesn't take away my salvation. People say, well, you know, it integrated. At least they're home now. Well, yes, they are, but they're not with us. And you know, so I missed those personalities that where I had the peace. And the blessing was right there all these years. I loved her. I knew it, just like Myra. And then you see all the breakdown. And have you noticed that the majority of the stuff that disturbs our peace comes from an outside other individuals or situations? Because, folks, the battle of the human situation always runs into the spiritual. It affects everything of our life. When we're hurting or when we're sad or when we have these stressors, we lose our appetite. We, you know, whatever it is that it hits us. I'm going to heaven, but my body needs to understand that the Lord has promised this, and we got it. We know it spiritually, but again, we're dealing, as long as we're dealing with the human condition, Gene, I don't believe we will ever find, well, we can't be at peace here on earth because we're not home, but we don't understand that to that depth. Because we haven't been there yet. Only Jesus came from there down here and went back to make sure we get to come. But all the books I've ever read, everything that I've ever dealt with over the years of dealing with the breakdown of the psyche, I've never, ever read one to where that this is the answer for you, and it's the answer for you. The only book I've ever seen that in is the Bible. Our God is the God of peace. John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Remember, and you think of this, Gene, and all of us. Remember that the disciples walking with Jesus was there during all the miracles, watched what he could do and all, and now they are in a mess because Jesus has told them he's leaving. And it's like, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? Our leader's gone. What do we do now? And they lost the peace that they had with him. And remember, as long as they was with him, he said it himself. He said, did you need money? No. Did you worry about food? No. But then he said, but now I'm leaving. And you carry the money and you get a sword. That's what he's saying, because I'm not going to be here to protect you. Okay. I am leaving you, though, with a gift, he says. Peace of mind and heart. Now, when we speak of peace of mind and the heart, we're always remembering that the heart is our spirit, the real us, to have peace in our mind. Gosh, I read a bunch of stuff a week or so ago. I got hooked in and couldn't quit reading it. It was where they were battling back and forth. Is the mind your spirit? And your pastor came to the conclusion that No. My spirit talks to my mind. But the real activation of the spiritual me and you, the true solid activation of that is when this body quits, when we leave the body. So until then, we're trapped inside of here. And that's what it is. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to walk with you as we deal with it. I'm going to leave peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Well, spiritually, I'm not. That's not my problem. My problem is the physical part, the human me. Spiritually, I know where I'm going. Spiritually, I do not have any fear because I don't fall under God's judgment because of Jesus Christ. So therefore, I don't have any of that kind of fear. But my problem is I can't convince my mind and the rest of my body at that, because when God created us, he created us to live forever, folks. The only reason death entered is because of direct sin from the garden, okay? And then in order to come in the presence of God, we have to leave this body, okay? But here's a big problem with that. Our whole life now is spent battling with ourselves. The Lord said, nobody can touch you, Larry. I've got you. But it's the world. And so the Lord watches over us here, but, well, let's do this. Peace has nothing to do with problem-free living. I think that's a bad mistake for people. Well, once I accept Jesus, there's not going to be any problems. Now, you all know this as well as I do. There's people out there trying to convince somebody to be saved, and half the time they say stuff like that. Everything is going to be just great. And so they accept Jesus and all hell hits them. And then do you think they're going to come back to you for the trust? But I've watched many of them walk out of this church, and I've watched many of them walk straight back into the world because it didn't work the way they wanted it to. That's it. God didn't do what they thought he ought to. Yes, he did. He did it right. That's the difference. Peace of mind is the result of three important decisions. And here they are. Decision number one, accept what cannot be changed. Now, I'm getting into the AA stuff here, but accept what cannot be changed, including your husband or wife. Leave it alone, ladies, and leave it alone, men. You happen to have fell in love or that cranky old man and that mean old woman or whatever. You loved him. So therefore, quit trying to change him. If you fell in love with them the way they were, how come you want to change them? That'd be like having another person. Okay. Accept what cannot be changed. Philippians 4:11-13. I have learned, and boy, Paul got taught a lesson. Don't you remember that at the call, his conversion, when he went to was Ananias, and because the Lord said he must see all that he will suffer for me. So Paul was following the route that the Lord had given him. Remember, he had already killed and responsible for deaths of Christians. And now God's used him, and now he are one, as we used to say in the pilot, as a pilot. I used to couldn't spell pilot, now I are one. Okay. I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have. Try that with a 2-year-old. Well, what are you talking about? Try that with a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old. Okay. I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. Well, Paul, I'm still in a learning process. But this guy was close to the Lord, but he was getting stoned all the time. well, how many shipwrecks, five, or how many stonings was five? I got mixed up about how many times this poor guy was whipped on. I know how to live when I am poor. Well, most of us in here do. Because it's according, you know, everything is relative, so, you know, it's just according to two-thirds of the rest of the world, we're all rich. And then when we look around, we did grow up poor. I did, yeah. Be using the cardboard in the shoe and to patch the hole at school and grass string to hold up my brother's blue jeans and that weren't blue. Anyway, I know how to live when I'm poor. Is it not easier, though, folks, to be raised poor, you become wealthy or whatever, and then the bottom falls out? It's a lot easier to go back to being poor because you've been there than to be raised wealthy and then everything is gone. Those are the ones that lose their mind, jump out of the skyscrapers. And that's at the stock exchange. And I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. Now, that secret he is talking about, we learn through God's teachings, is the inner peace, the peace that supersedes all understanding. See, you and I make a mistake of trying to figure it out. It's not something you figure out. It's Jesus focusing more on him than on the hurt or the pain. Learning in our life as Paul did, okay? It's been great, you know, for the ride of being an American citizen and having choices and, you know, the freedom that we have. But that never brought us that peace. It's Jesus that brings us to peace. And everything that happens to him, he says, he found peace. Let me focus on this part of Paul. The closer he became to death, the more peaceful you will see him in his writing. And he said it himself. As far as I'm concerned, I'd rather be with the Lord and home with him. But then he said, for your all's benefit in talking to all of them, you know, the Christians and all, it's better that I stay and teach. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me the strength. Old English, we all have learned. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I wonder why when they translated that, they said that. You remember? It always bothered me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I even changed it then, but in most of translations now, it's not that way. One thing that keeps us from peace is our demand. Oh, here it is. Our demand for an explanation during a crisis. And then God remained silent. God does not have to explain himself to us. And folks, the majority of things that happen to us, tragedy and all, I do know this. Everything is going to be for the good of those who love the Lord. God, I can't believe, why did you let this happen? Now, when you're looking for an explanation from God, you're challenging him as an explanation of, do you not understand? If I explained it to you, Larry, you could never understand it. Well, I get that. You know, that's good. It's easier for me because I grew up in Buffalo, Kentucky, on Buffalo Hill. I never was smart and never claimed to be. But I know Jesus. Remember Peter saying, dealing with that? And remember then afterwards when the disciples, because as the Pharisees and all said, they are unlearned. Well, the same thing is today. Well, unlearned. Did you go to Harvard? No, I went to Camelsville. What? Where? Is that? Yeah. And God says, I am not going to talk to you about it. Do you know that if we knew what was going to happen tomorrow within our life, and it was going to be horrible, and we would know that a loved one or whoever is going to leave, would we accept it, or would we attempt to change the situation to handle it? Yeah. Because we can't grasp it in a human condition. Okay, here's a serenity prayer. If you've ever been around any kind of drug situation or training, the serenity prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and then the wisdom to know the difference. Accepting what can't be changed is the starting point to peace. Well, you notice I said starting point, didn't you? Okay, decision number two, trust in God's loving care. There's a word for a series of problems. That word is life. That's what life is a series of problems. We see it from the Old through the New Testament. Every prophet, every man of God, woman of God has explained it that way. As long as we're in this body, there's going to be trouble. But thank God, folks, that He cut years down to where we don't have to stay on this earth the way Methuselah was a 960-some years old. Yeah, well, not only that, I wonder what you look like at that age. I mean, you know, I look in the mirror the other day, I ain't looking good at 70. So, okay. The world is competing against you, and a personal enemy is competing against you. Satan, he is the god of the world. Yes. Most problems and pain in my life, I'm talking about myself here, folks, come from my own lousy choices. I caused them. I couldn't point my finger at anybody. Well, at a certain point in your life, you point your finger at everybody but you. And that starts at 2 years old, as I told you. Yeah, as I said, I don't know who did it. You remember that commercial that is on for something, and they're on a conference call, and this guy says, well, the worst thing is having you. He thought it was on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the boss says, who said that? And that guy said, well, it could have been him. It could have been him. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. And it's the idea again, okay, if you can kill me, that's between you and God. But until that day, we must stand where God tells us to stand and trust Him. Listen, the world sees it that if you die physically, you've lost. Christians see it that, folks, we haven't even begun to live yet. The funeral I just did on Frank Francis Balsert. So I got a note from Robin, and I really loved it. And she said she wanted to thank me for doing it, and that all of the kids, they were all laughing about. Because, I'm explaining, and I see all these kids sitting out there. And, you know, kids don't understand funerals at all. And so I just decided, by the power of the Lord, that I was going to explain. I said, kids, now listen. What your granddad or great-granddad, and your relationship with him, is just like a man going, or astronauts going to space. In order for them to walk around up there, they have to put on the suit. And when they put on that space suit, then they're fine and they're protected. Well, God does that with here on earth. Our bodies, as your granddaddy and all is, our bodies are like the spacesuit God puts on for living down here. But when the body quits, it's just like the spacesuit quit. And we go on to be with the Lord. We are free to still live and live better. Well, on a note, she said, and all the kids think we're astronauts. So they were astronauts on Earth and we're taking off. But isn't it great that they would even think to that depth on that? Yeah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Oh, we would never do that. We would never. Well, now, that's not the way, you know, when God said thou shalt do no murder, that's not the way that I see it. I understand that God is saying to me, unless I decide that that person needs murdering. Folks, you ought to see what goes through the mind of individuals who are prone to criminality. Well, I wouldn't have done it, but if ever was a woman needing killing, Chaplain, that did. Okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Folks, everything I have, everything you have is a gift from God. We didn't get it because of our great wisdom. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And my health and your health is a gift from God. But God tells us that the body is dying. We started to die when we started becoming a human in our mother's womb. Let me stop there for a moment. I have gotten sick of listening on the news to what those doctors are doing. Yes, Planned Parenthood into this mess and laughing about hearing the crunching of the unborn child. Folks, if you and I, as Christians and as human beings, when we burn, you know how that is, when the anger begins in you and, you know, you're burning with anger. Well, preacher, are we supposed to? Sure, you get that way. Be angry at the things God is angry at. But what happened to our country? Gosh, folks, morality is out and willful murder is in. But some that you all didn't know, and I don't have kids here, but some that you all didn't know about, some of those, what they call the fetuses and all, were actually transported. You all remember a few years ago where a crate broke open, and that's what it was? They were used in some country as they ate them. It was their focus of getting the wisdom from that other human. Now, if they are selling parts from what they call a fetus that is not a human being, why do they want them? If that fetus is not human, then how do they get money for the body parts? And the animals that cannibalize them, I'm sorry, folks, it's just sickening. But notice, we're living in a society that doesn't bother. It does not bother them. Again, you and I are left in a world that has totally collapsed morally. You know, it'd be a blessing if South Korea would come over here and have a revival. I mean, the Lord touches nations and blesses them. Anyway, okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Meaning, Folks, prayer is when you have a need and you ask God to fulfill that need, what he is saying is make sure that you thank God because he's going to answer your prayer. Folks, he will answer the prayer that won't harm you. If it's going to harm you, his answer will be no. But he will answer the prayer. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than a human mind can understand. Right? Because every day I think, God, I cannot imagine why you even love me. Here's the final one, decision 3. Surrender to God's loving control. God does not take us in as slaves. He takes us in as children. His loving control. I don't want to be controlled by anybody. But then that means you're already controlled by Satan. Evidence of a surrendered life is always obedience. You believe that? Yep. That's the evidence, is obedience to God's word. You are at war with the real God when you try to play God. Oh, these people and what they're doing and laughing about it while they're eating, do we not see that as playing God? That, we're so brilliant that, here's what we'll tell you we will do. Did you listen to that one doctor and then they ask him, why are you selling these? A Lamborghini. She's wanting to buy a Lamborghini, so that's why. And she said, once you get a few, I may pop up the price so I can get that. Folks, you do not want to make God angry. And God's angry. That I know. It's in the book. Okay. Romans 8:6. If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, then there is death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, then there is life and peace. The Lord says, okay, this is the way I want you to do that. But Lord, I got a better idea. Oh, you better put that light bulb out. I don't care if you are Ford. You pop that light bulb out because you don't have a better idea. Warning, you cannot win a war against God. Look at Psalm 119. I'm using verse 165, and I wanted to give you a little stats on that one. Because Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all the Bible. And the actual author of it always said David. But it could be David, Ezra, or Daniel. They were there. It doesn't matter. But I always use that. And then when I was studying, I said, no, it could be this. Go, okay. Everybody agrees it's from God. I don't care who God used to say it. But anyway, I just thought you'd like to know that's the longest. Those who love your teaching will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them. Woo! And we walk around defeated. The church is broken. Christians need to start paying attention to the calling of God. Romans 5:1, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. I have peace with God not because I'm a preacher, not because, God, I've decided this. I'm just going to be on your team a while as long as you do it the way I think you ought to, and then I'll jump to another team. And I'm not talking about church hopping here, folks. I'm talking about this generation is God hopping. Yep. The God of our scriptures, and as we know, is the God of all creation. Only Christians and your Jewish nation only they understand there is only one God. But I see them, well, what's going on right now in our own country with ISIL and all of the Islamic charges against our nation? Our own young men and women, our young girls wanting to go over to become a bride of an Islamic terrorist. And they got there and they found out, can somebody please get us out? It's reality, folks. It's not fun and games as these kids think that it is. So what have they done? They went God hopping.